Okay, so we have Sebastian and Moat here, who are going to be presenting a sneak peek at their upcoming research paper, actually, on unrestricted file uploads. So enjoy.
Yeah, thank you very much for the nice introduction. I am Sebastian. I'm currently pursuing my PhD at the University in Berlin. In the domain of web security. And this is Moat Ude, my colleague. He's currently doing his master's degree in computer science, also at the TU Berlin, and he's also a working student with DCSO. So as already, kind of spoiled a bit, we wrote a paper on bringing UFOs back into the air, with Fuel, a framework for evaluating the effectiveness of unrestricted file upload vulnerability scanners. This is to be published at DIMBA 2024, which is in July. So you will get a short sneak peek into what our paper will be about. All right, so what are UFOs? Well, UFOs are not UFOs, so we will not be talking about unidentified flying objects, but about unrestricted file upload vulnerabilities. So if you're here for some space-related topic or some conspiracy-related topic, you're in the wrong talk. However, you can still stay and learn something new about web security. So before we can have a look at file upload vulnerabilities, let's first understand how file uploads work in general. So let's assume we have the user on the left side and the server on the right side. So the user interacts with the website and at some point might get a form back from the server that says, okay, you're allowed to upload a file. So there will be this special input file, HTML tag, that allows the user to choose a file from the system. Once they do that and they hit the form submit button, the browser will issue a HTTP request to the server. Usually that is a POST request that then contains the file. In our example, that's an image.png. And the request might look similar to this. So we have the special content type multipart form data, which includes a boundary. That is a random string that is then used to separate all the different form fields from each other. Why is that necessary? Because the files that are being uploaded could contain any data, either binary file contents or plain text file contents. So to separate those from the form fields, the browser will use that boundary. So once the file arrives at the server might want to validate the file's properties. It could be the file name, the content type, the file contents, and then if it decides that the file is okay, it will store the file somewhere in its storage or database or wherever it wants it to store, and then return the user a response that the file was uploaded. So web applications have to validate the uploaded file's properties to be secure. If they don't do that, we might run into issues. So let's swap the user for an attacker and see what could go wrong with file uploads. So now the attacker also gets the file upload form, but then decides to upload a malicious file. So for example, a file that contains PHP code. So what happens if the server does not properly validate either the file contents or other file properties? Then the attacker could manipulate all those properties that they have control over, because that's just a request the browser sends to the server. So they can change the file name, for example, to image.php, but still keep the image ping content type and also, for example, this PHP code as the file contents. So once the server does not properly validate these properties, The file might be saved as an image.php file. The server then returns a successful message, and then the attacker could access that image.php to execute code, and that is usually quite bad in the web security context. So let's have a look at a really simple, insecure example. So using these two lines of PHP code, you could have a vulnerable file upload processing on the server. What does it do? It takes the uploaded file and then simply saves it under the attacker controlled name. So don't do that. So what does it mean? Improper file validation of uploaded files can lead to unrestricted file uploads, and these can in turn lead to the web application's compromise, for example, remote code execution or cross-site scripting. So how can we identify these UFOs? That will Moa tell you about.
Yes. So there are two approaches how we can identify UFOs. We can first do the manual approach. We can view the source code of the application. We can inspect it, analyze it, and try to find vulnerabilities in it. We can also upload files manually and play around and see how the application responds to our files. This can be very accurate because we have control over the payload we send. However, this is really slow and can be very insufficient if we're dealing with a black box application. That's why we try to use the automated approach, which is basically looking for an existing scanner that is specified, that's specially designed to scan UFOs, and we just run it against the application. Yeah. There are two types of scanners. There's the non-academic scanners and the academic scanners. These range from plugins for existing tools already, such as Burp or OWASP. And then there's the standalone tools such as Fuchsploider, Fuse, and the U family, which is actually not available publicly. These scanners have a cool graphical interface, like you can do the scans very easy, they are really fast, and they can get hits really quick. However, they might be limited somehow. Like they can, they are not able to do that one upload that the other tools can. And the problem is we don't know what limitations they have because they were all tested against different set of applications. Like I think Fuchsploider was tested against PHP only, Fuse was tested against some PHP applications, and the other was, there was some JavaScript applications. So there's no common ground for the test environment. And that's why we were like, we need a common ground for this, and that's why we implemented Fuel. So what is Fuel? Fuel stands for File Upload Exploitation Lab. It's a framework specifically designed to evaluate UFO scanners. It's a simple to use, extendable and extensible framework, and is of course open source. For now, Fuel consists of 15 unique PHP-based scenarios that range from file extension validations to server configuration. And each of these scenarios is built in its own Docker container, meaning that they are separate from each other, and we can modify and add new levels, as we can see in the bottom left here. I don't see the... Nice. Anyway, we can see that scenario 1 is separate from scenario 2 to scenario n, and we can add new levels, new scenarios, like even not PHP, like, for example, JavaScript and Nginx. And so forth, and so on. So here we have now a scenario example of Fuel. It's scenario 10. And when inspecting the code of this scenario, we can see that the application tries to validate the uploaded file and see if it's an actual ping. So what it does is, we call the function getImageSize on the file, and we check that the file has dimensions. It's the size 0 and size 1, and we check the MIME type of the file to be ImagePing. So we get the metadata of the file itself. And if the file at the end is not an image, we just call that this is not an image, and we don't store the file in the storage. However, this approach might sound secure because we're actually expecting an image, but we can still bypass it. If we run the following command, which basically takes an actual image, an image.ping, and we inject a PHP comment into it. We just print hacked, and we save the output file as image.php. And we upload this file, which will actually be successfully uploaded because the application does not check for the extension. It checks the actual content of the image, but not the extension. And since we upload a .php file, in Apache, for example, this will be executed by default as a PHP application. So, yeah.
All right. So let's have a look at how Fuel can empower or power vulnerability scanners. So we took those four different vulnerability scanners, that is Fuse, FoxExploiter, Zap with its plugin, and Burp Suite with its plugin, and evaluated them against our Fuel lab. So these 15 scenarios that you can see here. And then we checked, do these tools find the intentional file upload bypass? And then the tools also report code execution and cross-site scripting issues. So we also listed them here. And the interesting fact is that none of these scanners managed to discover all the file upload vulnerabilities that were written about in related work over the past 10, 15 years that might exist in web applications. So to get the best coverage, you would have to run at least 2 vulnerability scanners to check if your web application is secure. And conjecture, we know, or we think, that many people might run at most 1 tool, but maybe not 2 tools. So let's have a closer look at the table. What do we see? We see that scenario 8 was not discovered by any of the tools, as well as scenario 11 and 15. So what were these scenarios about? 8 was using a nested file extension, that is .php, and then these dangerous file extensions are blacklisted and replaced with an empty string. So if you nest them, you might end up with .php again. So this is something these tools do not cover. Then path reversal in the file name. So we saw the upload request with its file name parameter, and if you try to do some path reversal with the file name, this is also something that these tools do not check for. And then changing the request method from post to, for example, put, and placing the file contents in the body is also something that is not performed. What else do we see? An interesting finding was with the Zap tool, because for it to detect those two scenarios or the vulnerabilities in those two scenarios, it depended on the seeded files. So we tested all the uploads with text files, but it turned out if we use a ping file and give that to the vulnerability scanner, it will then detect the vulnerability, but not in the text file case. So what did we do? We came up with a solution to the problem. We took one of these tools, namely FoxExploiter, and implemented some additional features to make it discover all the file upload vulnerabilities in these 14 out of 15 levels. So we had to add some detection rules, and since FoxExploiter was the only tool not to feature cross-site scripting detection, we also implemented that to make it better comparable. Only scenario 15 is still not detected, And the reason for that is that it would have required a major rewrite of the tool, how it creates the request, how it checks for the uploaded files. So we took this as a limitation for now, but maybe someone from the community would like to improve that as well. All right, so let's refuel.
So as you've seen, because of fuel, we were able to identify the limitations of these tools, and because of that, we were able to rewrite and extend Fuxploider to find more vulnerabilities. However, this does not have to stop here. We only had scenarios for PHP, but there are other languages such as JavaScript, Python that also have some file upload scenarios. So we invite you to the Fuel project to refuel, so you can add your own level, own scenarios that are written in other languages or like specific ideas that you have that might be interesting. You can find our GitHub page under the link there. And it consists for now of Fuel, the Fuel project, the Fuxploider.ng. You can view the source code that we wrote there. And we have the Fuel evaluation that we saw earlier, the table and everything. So everything UFO related is welcomed. We would appreciate some contribution. And yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And we have time for a few short questions. So raise your hand and I'll come to you with the mic.
What kind of scenarios did you test? You only said you had scenarios, but were they pretty common or also niche?
Both. I hope you all scanned the QR code. If not, I'll switch back in a second. There's a preprint of our paper available, so we just uploaded it a few days ago. You can read the paper there. We describe all the 15 scenarios, what they are. But in essence, we just went through the different related work, academic publications, non-academic publications, and we tried to extract all the different methods and ways that files could be uploaded in an unrestricted environment. So what Moat said, for example, with changes to the file extensions or to the uploaded requests content type, or to the file contents. So yeah, we tried to cover as many different ways a file could be unintentionally uploaded to bypass some validations.
I actually have two questions. First one, does this have the basic assumption that the uploaded files will be executable via the web server?
Yes, for now, yes. That's why we focused on PHP, and the uploaded files are stored in the document root, what might not be best practice. However, that's why we called to contribute to Fuel, so you could maybe add some other scenarios where the files are not uploaded to the document root, but somewhere else, and then there might also be some other implications.
Okay. And on your slide number 13, could you just quickly repeat the types, the IFUEBCE, XSS's cross-site scripting?
Yeah. IFUB is intended file upload bypass. So we wanted to see if the tool used the intended way to bypass this validation check implemented in this scenario, and CE is code execution.
Okay, I think there was one more question over there. Okay, then we're wrapping it up. Thanks for being here. Thanks again to the speakers, and yeah, enjoy the rest of your day. GPMM.